We're official. Okay, so anybody else have their sword with them besides the same guys that were here last time? Your phone swords will work. So with that thought in mind, Paul, you take Isaiah 49, 15, 16. RJ, you take Isaiah 50, verse 7. And Rick Shelton, why don't you take 52, 7, Isaiah. Before we get kicked off on Isaiah, I want to be clear about something. Each man, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him to. But be clear, it was God that called you to it. I didn't bring a preachimony to you this weekend. I brought you a testimony. The thing about a testimony is, it's incontrovertible. This is what happened with me. Your life, completely different. There are men in this room that had loving fathers. There are men in this room that had no fathers. There are men in this room that had brutes for fathers. And the full gamut and range in between. So I hope you'll take the remarks that I've brought this weekend with that frame of mind. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you what you didn't do, should do, whatever else. I'm telling you what happened with me. All right, so let's kick. So one of the I'm a student of languages, and one of the things that I like about the Hebrew dialect, Hebrew language, is they use a lot of words. Alleluia. Elijah. Yahweh. They saw him as the breath in the beginning. God breathed life into man. All scripture is God breathed. So, Hosiah, as they pronounce it, ends in the A-H. It's got that breath behind it. Just strong. 49, 15, 16?
15 and 16.
Yes, sir.
Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should...
Louder, please.
Huh?
Louder.
Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me.
So look at the names of God. El Shaddai is one of them. El Shaddai is the Hebrew picture of the perfect man, perfect woman combination. The man God with breasts. Doesn't seem to fit in a Western culture. Fits fine in theirs though. Perfect man, perfect woman, El Shaddai. Adonai, Most High God. He says that he has written my name on the palm of his hand. Engraved it. Not just ink with a stylus. Engraved it. One of the tenderest parts of your body is the palm of your hand. It's where all the nerve senses are. You don't believe me? Grab something hot. I tell my sons in our Bible studies together in our home church, he has written his name on the palm of your hand, of his hand. So much does he love you. And if I, who am imperfect, love you, how much more he, who is perfect? Verse 50, go.
But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be put to shame.
Thank you, RJ. At times, I think it's uncomfortable for our sons to be in our home church. That's by design. I want them to be uncomfortable. I want them to think. I want them to not have the answers. I want them to seek the answers. So, pop quiz. God helps those who helps themselves. True? Not true.
False.
Why?
Why? Because God helps everybody, but... You don't help yourself, you can't do nothing to help God.
Good. Bill gets a gold star. No, you do.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
The only one star.
So God helps those who are obedient. That's what he does. He doesn't help those that help themselves. Apart from you, I can do nothing, Jesus says. Apart from me. So there's help available to us, but there it's conditional, generally speaking, isn't it? Rick, go ahead.
What was it, 55?
52.7, verse 7.
How beautiful are the mountains of the feet of the herald who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns.
How do my feet look to you? Not my shoes, my feet. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those that bring good news. My desire is for this section to leave you with good news, with a new measure of hope, an extra measure of hope. I haven't talked much about our younger son, but he is a tender-hearted guy. And I've got a special place in my heart for men that are tender-hearted. I'm one of those, but I've got a plate of armor over the top of mine that I have to deal with. And that's all right. That's mine to bear. And I've told a couple of the guys in this room, but I want to share with the group. We took him out of private Christian school as a junior and put him in public school because that private school was acting just like the public school. Why pay the $20,000 a year to do that? So he was in sociology class in his junior year. And the question on the table was, is suicide okay? Is it okay to take your own life? And it could have been the peer pressure of the first couple of answers, but to a person, they said it was okay. Junior's in high school. These kids 16, 17, 18 years old, right, depending. And my son raised his hand and said, nope, it's not all right. I was proud of him. He said, it's not all right. The teacher said, well, can you defend yourself, your answer? He said, yeah, it's not my life to take. All right. Somebody's been listening. Someone's been paying attention. I was grateful for that. So fathers, whether they mean to or not, teach. By their actions, the look in their eyes. Where's Craig? The look in their eyes, right? All it took was a look. Deer in the headlights. I know that one. Turn around and throw me those eyes. Francis of Assisi said, preach always, use words if you must, if you have to. So we, by our actions, teach people, right? And my wife and I have worked to teach our sons some things. To this day, sons are 30 and 25. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. Unprompted, unbidden. That's just who they are. It's how they comport themselves. I'm happy that they do. That's not where young people traffic these days, generally speaking. At least that's been my experience. So I've done a lot of wrong things in my life, and I haven't done everything right as a father, I assure you. They will assure you. Before I get to that, I'll get to this. We had this paddle. I've talked to you about it. It you started out being a spoon. As I got older, you got to be a paddle. And then finally, it got to be a fraternity paddle. Big honking paddle. Because that's what it took to get their attention. I remember, like it was yesterday, the older one stepped way outside the lines. I don't remember what the incident was, but he had a pop coming. I said, "Here we go." And I'd said to him more than once, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you to do this." So I gave him his pop, and he turned around and looked at me. He says, "Give me another one." Okay. That was his way of letting me know, "You're not going to dominate me, buddy." Well, I'm pretty sure he lost that argument that day. But you get the point, right? This is young men. This is me. This is him. My son. So the younger one, he didn't require all that. You could show him the paddle and, "Hey, I'm good. We're set." Or he'd watch his brother get one, and just like with my family. Enough of that. I saw what he got. No thanks. So this Father's Day, I got a little bit of confirmation. This is way personal, but I'm going to take my chances with you. Happy Father's Day. As I reflect on everything you've done for our family, I realize how incredibly fortunate I am to have you as a father. You're the man I aspire to be every day. Selfless, intelligent, hardworking, courageous, unwavering dedication, and with strength that's always been a guiding light for me. Your selflessness in putting our family's needs above your own, your intelligence in navigating the life's challenges, your relentless hard work, and your courage in facing adversity inspire me constantly. You've shown me what it means to be a man of integrity and honor, and I strive to live up to the example you have set. Thank you for being my hero, my mentor, my friend. Your love and support means the world to me. I'm proud to be your son and grateful for all the lessons you've taught me. Can't buy that stuff. Now, I will admit to you, he's also the guy that wants to see if he can make me cry by his letters and cards. And so he puts a little extra paprika on it, you know what I mean? Great to have a tender-hearted son, though, I'll tell you that. So the father that's willing to engrave his son's name on his hand, that's some father, right? The father that says, "I'm going to help you no matter what. No matter where your ox goes, I'm there." That's the father that we all want, isn't it? And some of us have been that father. Some of us still have a chance to be that father, and some of us have a chance to be that grandfather. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those that bring good news. I reflect on some of the things that God has taught me, my Heavenly Father has taught me. Through the men that he has paraded in front of me as I have sought him in his word. Though he slay me, I will trust in him. It pleased him to crush him. I know that my Redeemer lives. By his stripes I am healed. These are the things that he has taught me in really personal ways as I've sought him in a daily quiet time, which if you don't have one, I strongly recommend you get one, that you make one, that you make that a priority. God will tell you his secrets. The secret things belong to him, but men, he will whisper those secrets in your ears if you're willing to listen. Fathers need to hear that. Grandfathers need to hear that. When I was a Jesuit, there was a guy that was a diaconate. He was working on becoming a priest. He had certain things he had to do, and he did them. He wound up being the rector of a Catholic church in the north part of town. I went out and saw him. I made the choice, this was before I got married, I made the choice to pursue that tradition on my own. It was one thing to be exposed to it as a child, another thing to make a choice as an adult. I wanted to make that choice for myself. I went back and interviewed that church. But in the midst of that, David Lawrence, his name, I asked him if he would hear my confession. Those of you that don't participate in that kind of ethos, a confession is where one man faces another one and says, "Here's what I did." And if that's a holy man that you're dealing with, he maybe has the opportunity to tell you what you need to do to reconcile yourself with God. Called a confession. There's usually a penance, and that turns to repentance and a chance to be restored. I knew all this from my Jesuit days and being an altar boy and all this other. But I sat with him and I said, "Would that be all right?" He said, "Yeah, that'd be fine." So we weren't in a confessional, which is normally a little, you've seen the movies, it's a little soft screen where you kind of can see each other, but not really stare each other in the face. But he and I sat in a room half this size, and I faced him. And guys, I told him everything I had done. Complicit in not one, not two, but three abortions. I got women pregnant. It wasn't man enough to marry them. They didn't want to marry. Anyway, that's let's talk about me. I wasn't man enough to see it through. I stole. I lied. I cheated. Misused friendships. This went on for an hour. I'm not kidding you. This went on for an hour. At the end of which, both of us were sitting there sobbing. And I don't mean kind of crying. I'm talking about snot running down your nose, sobbing. We talked a little more, and I was astonished for him to say, "If I had a, I'll never have a son, but if I did, I'd want him to be just like you." It could have been the voice of God, but it was so freeing for another man to validate me and say, "Yeah, we're all screw-ups, and you admitted it. And because of your honesty, I'd want you as a son." Shocking. Debilitating. One of the things we do in Operation Timothy is craft a purpose statement. Anybody here got a purpose statement? A few? It doesn't violate my testimony, so I'll read you mine. If it's overbearing, forgive me. I hope you will. I purpose to love the Lord with all my heart, and in so doing, I will work to be obedient to the calling He has put on my life. Generally, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, teaching others what He has taught me, specifically, to do right, to owe no man anything but to love Him, and to be at service to a Savior who loved me enough to lay down His life for me. I will pay attention to the widows and the orphans as commanded, give freely while being an able steward of His resources. I purpose to lead my family, church, and ministry in a way that is pleasing to the Master. I know who sees everything and is everywhere. I understand I will provide an accounting to Him at judgment. I seek to give Him a good answer as to how I live the life that He gave me. Finally, I will nourish the Spirit entrusted to me by feeding it with His Word daily. I will meet with like-minded men to continue the deep dive into His Word with hopes to gain wisdom so that at the end of my days I can present to Him a heart of wisdom. I will make my plans, set my goals, but count on Him to order my steps. I will grow in my desire to trust in Him as He teaches me obedience through my circumstances, trials, and blessings. I will look for Him to speak to me through those who prize a relationship with Him and with me, and I intend to preach the gospel daily and use words if absolutely necessary. I commit these things from my spirit. My friend Rick Shelton says that he makes his daily decisions pressing it against his purpose statement. That's smart, Rick. That's smart. So, if you don't have a purpose statement, may I encourage you to write one. Let it be a living document, one that's going to change over time. And make your major decisions pressed against that. Whether it really fits with what God has called you to do. I told you that I keep a prayer request and praise report in our home church. We've got a few minutes, so I'm going to do this. For my section, and they're all by names, my wife first, then our sons, then my son's significant other, who I hope will be his wife soon. And then we finally get to me. And my section turns out to be the biggest because I'm the one doing the daily prayers. For me, I'm asking the Lord for an obedient heart, one that is faithful, giving. I ask Him to help me with my thought life. I pray for David and Devin every day. Devin. My brother Scott and Carson, his son, and then his sons, Van and my Timothy Lenny and his son Zach, my Timothy Sergio and his son Sebastian, Julian, Cody, Will, guys that I report to, guys that work with us, for Craig and for Christian, for Renee and her health, for provision. We need a new fence. That's on the prayer list. Some of the people that I work with and our clients, I have them on my prayer list as I do the company. One of the things I get to do is lead a Bible study that is a dozen men, and we're going over the Operation Timothy memory verses. It makes for an interesting Bible study. I'm surprised that that's worked, but there are a dozen men that seem to come in and enjoy it and deal with it. Been praying for this retreat for about a month. And then finally, I'm praying for a guy that I'm going to have to let go, terminate him. But I'm hoping that he lands on his feet, that God's got a plan for him. So each day I pray over those things, believing that God knows exactly what He's doing, that He will answer those prayers as He sees fit, but that I am faithful to submit those to the that most high place, the foot of the cross, where we may find unction and love. Since we have a few extra minutes, I would like for us to go back to the same groups that we were in. And now the question on the table is, what have you learned from your heavenly Father? I see what your earthly Father has taught you. You talked about it. Now, let's do that. We'll come back up here with a few minutes left. We'll have a little bit of fellowship and music, and that will wrap up our time. So, let's break. For you amateur entomologists, there apparently is a spider eating a grasshopper over in the rightmost window. So you won't want to miss that.
We fed the grasshopper.
It may be that. Thank you, Paul. Paul Stank. Well, first he consecrated and then fed the grasshopper to the spider. Thank you for doing that.
Not good. It's
the prognosis for the grasshopper is short term.
Yeah. He went to immediate
sword. Now, there is hope for him, though, because there's a wasp over there that's got the spider in its sights, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a grasshopper on the lake out there.
He's a goner, too. what do you say we review? There's what our fathers have taught us. Some of it good, some of it bad, some of it sweet, some of it sour. Some of it worth taking with you, some of it not carrying along for the journey. The things that my father taught me, many of which I tried not to teach my sons. And yet, in retrospect, he taught me discipline. I was saying in the share group, I sure knew how to shine shoes. I was good at that. I'm still pretty good at it. Know how to detail a car. About that kind of stuff. So some things I took with me, but the big things I learned from my Heavenly Father. And may I encourage you to seek Him with the very best part of your day, the first part of your day. You'll set that aside for Him. He will pay you dividends. I have it on good authority. Walking close with my sons has been an important feature in our relationship. That seems obvious. But not all fathers that walk closely with their sons have that kind of relationship. It flows from the Most High. No one proceeds to Him except through the Son. And the Holy Spirit of God is everywhere. So I didn't do it on my own. If I accomplished anything, it was because He armed me to do it. So if anybody here thinks that I did anything, let me assure you that's not true. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And thank you, Lord, for that. I look around the landscape of my life and I think about the men that make the memorial stones to remember what they taught me, to remember those that stood by when I questioned whether I was worth standing by, those that have been in it for the long haul, those who call me brother, like some of the men in this room. It's been important for me to show my sons that it's essential that you give. Because out of a giving heart, some good things can happen. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I can confirm that. That is true. My Heavenly Father gave me the character and the wherewithal to restore things to my earthly father. Restore him his dignity when I accused him of being a child abuser. To restore a fractured relationship that he claimed to not even remember happened. But I remember fondly hugging my father, kissing him on the cheek many times before he died. He got to know my sons a little bit, but only a little bit. Didn't make the effort to go to their games, didn't make the effort to do this, that, or the other, as so many men of his generation did and didn't. Easy to forgive him. I was there. I didn't miss many. A father writes his son's name on the palm of his hand. Precious to me are you, he says. In the variety of ways that God enables a man to say it. Whether it's a gift, a kindness, for him to witness a kindness or an act. To know what to do because he has seen it done. He saw his father walk in front of him. He now knows what to do. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news. I don't know about my feet, but I hope this weekend I brought you a little bit of good news. Yep, I walked in front of a man that was a hard man. There are others here that did too. I tip my hat to you and say, I know what you're talking about. I get it. There are others here that had it worse than me, that had no father. That struggle with relating to a man. You know, in advertising they say that bad breath's better than no breath. And the ones that didn't have dads, I'll bet they wonder whether that's true or not. And my heart goes out to you either way. And I'm reminded that Luke 9:62 is true even today. That no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. Don't look back. These men, these fathers that I've adopted and that have adopted me, the memory stones, the 12 men. They've shown me how to be a man, how what God's man looks like in the flesh. I wasn't shown. But some of those same men have ministered to you all. I hope you prize that relationship. I know I do. There will be seminal men placed in your lives, especially if you look for them, if you pray for them, that will tell you, I wish I had, if I had a son, I wish he were just like you. Those men are sent by God to affirm you. You seek them out, you will find them. Sometimes in unexpected situations. We looked at what our fathers have taught us. We looked at what our heavenly fathers have taught us. There are big differences. But in the end, see the truth of it, our earthly fathers were given to us by our heavenly fathers. Heavenly Father, we know exactly how he got there, and that we are his progeny, both of them, Heavenly Father, Earthly Father. Play your cards right, you wind up with a soft-hearted son who sends you love notes. Affirms you in what you've poured into them. These days, I have some spiritual sons. I count them blessings too. What a privilege it is for a man to pour his life into another man, to see him do the same. What a blessing it is to be a Paul, to see a Timothy become a Paul, to see him become the man of God. Our world desperately craves it, does it not? By way of example, I hope that you will consider a purpose statement for your life, something that you can press your major decisions against and say, yep, that's a good decision because it's consistent with my purpose. Or, you know, I think I'm going to beg off that. It doesn't fit my purpose. Each man is responsible to God to remain in the situation God called him to. So I stand here today thanking Jay Baker for being my father and my brother, and David Ward for being my father and my brother, and others of you here. It's been cathartic and freeing to be with you. I hope that you have been brought some measure of transparency that would help you with your own life, your own relationships with your father and with your son, those of you that have them. I consider it a distinct privilege. May God bless you. Bow your heads, if you will. Lord Jesus, surely there is none like you. It is you that lifts a man up and puts a man down. It is you that makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, the glory, the majesty, and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands is strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. I praise your name, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done this weekend, for giving me the heart and the character to stand here before these men, free in front of you, unjudged by them. And Lord, as we leave this place, we ask for safe travel. We ask for a good reentry for those that have stayed the course while we were here, enjoying the things that you prepared for us. I thank you for those that have the servant's heart here that prepared and made the effort, provided the food, provided the inspiration, provided the structure. Lord Jesus, find in us a grateful heart for all that you give us. We pray these things in your strong name. Amen.
Guys, real quick.